Bandwidth for this podcast is brought to you by CashFly at CACHEFLY.com. This is the iOS Show, episode 306, recorded on September 10th, 2016. Enjoy! Alright, it's time for the iOS Show, where we cover all things iOS and beyond. I am Michael Johnston, and with me, as usual, is Jeff Gamet from the Mac Observer and Adam Christensen from the MacCast. Hey guys, how are you doing?
Doing good. All right.
Sweet.
Good.
We,
broke, but good.
Yeah.
Broke the good what?
Broke.
Oh.
I have no money left.
Yeah.
Yeah. Apple just kind of sucked our funds away.
Well, I guess that's a good thing, right? So we had the events on Wednesday. We had some time to cool off and think about what happened. And then on Friday, they gave us time to empty our wallets. As far as things that I liked, I kind of liked everything. And I thought, geez, I want everything that they announced. But then I thought, you know, I'm not going to get any of that stuff. But that changed quickly.
That's all right. I bought it all for you.
Oh, thank you.
For me, I mean, I'm bought it for me, but you can live vicariously through me if you'd like.
I typically do that. So yeah, I'll just keep doing that. So,
which makes sense on so many levels.
Uh-huh. So let's just go chronologically through the event as far as highlights go. So the first thing that, the big surprise for me was that,
Carpool Karaoke?
Oh yeah.
Or karaoke?
Yeah.
I got to say it right. Otherwise, Doc Rock is going to beat me.
Whatever.
Karaoke?
I didn't.
Well, keep in mind that there's a proper pronunciation for the word and the name of a show. And the name of the show is Carpool Karaoke.
Karaoke.
That's the word for what they're doing. But the name of the show is Carpool Karaoke.
Thank you, Jeff.
Why isn't it karaoke?
No, let's not get
that
into this.
That would be really clever.
No, nobody cares. Let's just talk about other things. So that was dumb, and we'll move on. So
you didn't enjoy Tim Cook singing what was it?
Sweet Home Alabama.
Is it One Republic?
I don't care. Let's move on. Mario.
Mario.
Yeah.
It's me, Mario.
Thank you.
That was perfect. You must have gotten some sleep, Adam.
Yeah. Energized. So we got what's the guy's name? Guy from he's the father of Mario, right? He came up on stage and talked about how Super Mario Run is coming to iOS, and it's a new game.
Shigeru Miyamoto.
Thank you, Miyamoto.
So the big news there is that Nintendo finally wised up and realized that their big properties need to be on other platforms besides just their own.
Mm. Yeah. They're doing it in a really smart way, though, because they're using the characters, which is a smart thing to do, but making very different games that are the types of games that you wouldn't necessarily play on a console. Although
right.
I think Mario Run is coming to consoles at some point. Like, I think it'll be like a Steam game or something like that.
Will you be able to play it one-handed, just like you can on the iPhone?
Maybe not Steam. Whatever. However you get, like, you know, online games on your Nintendo.
However things are done with the kids. Ask your daughters. They know.
I don't know. Maybe I'm totally wrong.
But
it's definitely designed specifically for mobile, because you play it in like portrait mode. I don't even think you can play it in landscape.
It doesn't look like you can. Yeah.
It's designed to be like played one-handed.
Yep.
But it looks like, yeah, he mentioned that you can eat a sandwich, or no, you can eat a cheeseburger. No, a hamburger. They don't use cheese there. But yeah, so it looks good. The only thing that was interesting to me. So it's not a full-fledged Mario game. It's a, you tap and it jumps and it automatically runs. It looks good. It looks very high quality.
It's like the same thing they're doing with the whole Go series.
The thing is, they expect, their expectation is that this is going to drive people to their console games. That's what they're hoping for.
Well, I mean, I think I don't know. Yeah, I don't know if I'd say that as much as you'll have fans of the console games all buying the mobile game. So it's extra revenue.
Perhaps.
And you have the casual audience who's familiar with the characters, which is the bigger thing. Or maybe were console gamers back in the day, like myself. I had a Nintendo 64. But I don't play it anymore. But I'd certainly like a Mario game on my iPhone.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it's going to be just like Pokemon Go. It's going to be huge. They're going to sell a ton of units.
I think that was part of the inspiration. A ton of copies and, I think that was part of the inspiration for getting this out there. They saw how Pokemon Go worked out.
The biggest success Pokemon Go was.
They're also
now experiencing the fleetingness of that success, though.
Realizing
we got to pump out one of these games every 4 to 6 weeks.
And yes, that's true, but the fleeting part didn't have to be that way. It's amazing how hard Niantic has worked to sabotage the game. It's amazing.
Well, so that's a good lead in to, do you think, because they also announced Pokemon Go coming for Apple Watch.
Yeah, and that's...
So is that going to change anything?
Only if they can really fix the character discovery features. Because when they yanked all that stuff out and it became a game where you roam around aimlessly hoping to stumble across a character, and then once you've wasted all that time, now you have to go up against a bunch of grinders in the gyms.
Right.
The game became stunningly not fun. Like, I haven't played it for, weeks now?
Yeah.
And I loved that game.
Yeah.
You're talking about the nearby feature. I mean, in the Watch demo, they did show the nearby feature, and I thought they were going to re-enable that at some point. It's on for some people, but I guess they're rolling it back out slowly.
Yeah, they're rolling it out slowly.
There's certain
areas like I think parts of San Francisco where you can use the feature.
I didn't realize that they got rid of that feature. I haven't been playing it.
And then they sent C&Ds to all of the companies that have made websites to help you find Pokemon.
Right.
That's smart.
That was really smart. So basically what they said is, we don't want anyone to be able to find Pokemon, but hey, we think that will be fun.
Why don't they just sell reactivating the nearby feature as like $1.99 in-app purchase?
Have there been in-app purchase things for...
Well, that was...
Yeah, you can buy coins.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Pokemon Go is all about the in-app purchase.
That's hilarious.
But luckily, Mario Run is not going to be. It's a one-time buy, play as much as you want game, which I think is awesome.
Which is crazy, because if you look at the entry for it on the App Store, you can click the button that says, tell me when it's available.
Yeah.
It also says in-app purchases.
It does say that.
So... Huh. They downstage, they were like, hey, no in-app purchases.
You know, he mentioned stickers. I wonder if, because you can bundle stickers now with iOS 10 with your apps. I wonder if the in-app purchase is the stickers.
Might be.
So something related to gameplay.
And that would be totally acceptable. And that would fit with the statement that they made.
I'm just speculating. Obviously, we don't know. But the other thing about that is the notify feature. A lot of developers are wondering, are they going to open that up?
Oh,
that's
yeah.
the first time we've seen that. So yeah, you can go to the App Store and there's a little notify button. Hey, notify me when the game is available.
That'd be cool. Let's move on and then just as far as the Pokemon sure. go,
yeah, we're
watch stuff. They've made it so that it's basically a workout, right? You say start. I'm going to start Pokemon hunting, and then it activates the discover as you go sort of features. So once you turn it on, once you say I'm hunting for Pokemon, you walk around, and the GPS from your phone or potentially watch will let you know when you stumbled across a Pokemon, and then you can pull out your phone and go for it and that sort of thing. And it will also count.
Convenient.
It'll count your steps and all that stuff. So I mean, before it was so incredibly difficult, and you needed battery packs and all this kind of stuff. So it'll be much easier for people who have an Apple Watch, and I think that will be greatly appreciated. So, Apple announced AirPods, and those are they're basically.
I thought we were going in chronological order. What the heck?
Are they?
We're
not
jumping right to the AirPods, huh?
Well, this is the order I have it in, so just deal with it. Okay. AirPods.
All right.
They're earpods with the little wires snipped off.
But they still work.
Yeah. I invented these in high school, actually.
And really long stems.
Yeah, so they still have the long stems. They're Bluetooth earpods. And same shape, same everything. So I'm praying that there's some magic there that keeps them in my ears because I really want them. 5 hours battery life. They come with a cute little battery pack case that will extend you up to 24 hours if you keep throwing them in there.
It looks like a thing of dental floss.
Yeah, 15 minutes in the case will give you 3 hours. I think it is something like that. And so they are Bluetooth. They have a custom Apple W1 chip.
So that's a brand new chip Apple designed.
Yeah, this is actually really cool technology.
How greatly this improves the Bluetooth experience. But you can use one or both earbuds. Yeah. So you can either use one as a, just for talking on the phone, or you can use both for,
can you use
listening.
Just one?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's been confirmed.
And, there's a little,
they're also going to allow you to replace just one, apparently.
No kidding.
Yeah. So if you accidentally lose one or not the other, or one is damaged, they haven't announced pricing for it, but there will be a way to buy a single earpod as a replacement earpod.
If you lose one,
I would wait
a couple days because you're probably going to lose the other one.
Everybody keeps saying that, and that's kind of bugging me. It's like suddenly no one ever lost a pair of wired earbuds, right? Because they had wires.
Yeah, I see those scattered around Boulder like there was a headphone truck explosion.
Like, why is it suddenly more likely because they're not? More likely they might get separated.
No.
Somehow.
I think the concern is that they're going to fall out of your head while you're on a bike or when you're jogging or walking or something like that.
Sure. And they bounce.
If you're on a bike,
ground.
You shouldn't be wearing them anyhow.
And I mean, if they bounce into the street and a car runs over it, sure.
But
or it bounces into the gutter and down the storm drain. Yeah,
I think that's what's going to happen. It'll probably be something like that. But okay, so firstly,
I don't think these are ideal for activity.
These are not workout headphones.
They're not, unless you have perfect ears that just suck these things in. I mean, there are people who do go jogging with their earpods, and I don't understand how that works, but it does.
I never even take my earpods out of the little package.
It fits for some people. It depends on the shape of your ear. I mean, the bigger complaint that I've always heard about the earpods from a lot of people is they fit okay, but after an hour or two, they get really uncomfortable. Like, they're not comfortable for, like, long-term in-ear wearing for a lot of people. And so that was one of the things that bugged me about this announcement. Is like, suddenly it's like, oh, these are awesome. Everybody got really excited. A lot of the same people who I've seen say, oh, EarPods suck. The shape sucks. It hurts my ears. It's like, well, they haven't changed the shape. It's not, if it hurt your ears before, these are going to hurt them the same. They just don't have wires.
Well, I think that the, I think that speaks to the desire for that design, right?
Because you mean, I think you're right.
The wireless without the wire between the.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, so the 160 price tag is what I paid for my, my Jaybirds.
Yeah.
These have 3 hours less battery life, but this, I mean, this is a very, an average price for what these are.
Yeah.
This is a very reasonable price. 169. Yeah. There were some people who.
And Apple does have a, if you don't like the wireless, you know, no wire between the two things because you think they're going to get lost or you can't work out with them or they don't fit right. Apple does have a similarly priced new version of a Beats headphone that has the wire between it and has the same W1 chip technology.
But we're not sure if it's going to do the same. You know, part of this is that it's smart pairing with your phone.
That's the W1 chip.
Yeah, that's part of what the W1 does.
There's the...
There's multiple automatic multiple switching, so you can pair with all your devices. It can sync all of your settings to your Mac and other devices via iCloud. Mm-hmm. This W1 chip is like, it's revolutionary. The question is are they using the W1 for doing actually the audio communication, or is that still Bluetooth? And that's not really clear at this point.
I think it is still Bluetooth at this point.
Well, you can use Bluetooth with it, but it's not clear that when you're in a mode where you're paired with an Apple device that would also have a W1 chip, which I think is like the iPhone 7.
I don't think there's any new frequency or new communication spec. It's possible they're using the latest Bluetooth spec, but I don't think they're doing something like that. So there are a couple concerns that I have with the AirPods. One, there are no buttons, which means you can't change the volume. I'm going to say 95% positive on that. You can't change the volume.
You
from
use
the
Siri.
Buttons. That's stupid.
You have to use Siri to change the volume.
You have to into the air and say, turn up the volume. And then she turns up the volume. And then you have to stop again. And then you say, turn up the volume again. And then you do that three more times. And then you get the right volume.
Or you can say, set the volume at 50%.
At 70%.
Potentially, sure. But it is irritating. I do like the play pause and the Siri. So the way that works is through a little accelerometer. So you tap. You tap on your earbud and it does play pause and double tap to bring up Siri. That's cool. I do like that. It's easier than, you know, jamming an earbud into your ear to try and press a button, which I have experienced, and that sucks. Overall, I think that they are perfectly priced.
More importantly, is it going to talk to you, or is it going to just beep, Michael?
God, I hope it talks to me. I'll throw them in the garbage and not even return them if it doesn't talk to me.
So either way, Apple wins.
You people, you discount this talking thing.
I do like the talking
thing. No, I like it.
That's one of the things that I really like about the Jaybirds.
Yeah.
They talk to me.
So AirPods, Apple Watch Series 2. So the Series 2 has GPS built in and is swim proof up to 50 meters.
Okay, wait, stop. Stop right there. I have to stop right there because this really irritates me.
All right.
That they made up this marketing term called swim proof.
Mm-hmm.
But okay, it's not waterproof means that it doesn't get water in it, right?
Mm-hmm.
So proof is like protected from, or you can't do it. So the saying swim proof means that
you put it on and suddenly you can't get in the swimming pool.
You can't swim. Yeah.
Like you're physically stopped from doing that.
You're right. And you know what? This is like the first time Apple has taken liberties with, you know, words.
So really what they should have said is something
said it's swim
like,
positive.
Yeah. They're swim enabled or something like that.
Swim enabled. Yeah. Okay. So that's fair.
Anyway, sorry, it just really bugged me out because even during the keynote when I was watching it live, it went by and I'm like, did he just say swim proof? He means you can swim with them, not that they prevent you from swimming.
Yeah.
It's just weird.
Same battery life.
Marketing term.
Same battery life. Slightly thicker.
Yeah, but imperceptibly
heavier,
so.
Due to, it does have a larger battery, and this is because of the GPS. Apple is quoting the same battery life. I'm guessing you might get more if you don't use GPS often.
Yeah, I'm wondering if there's a way where you can go in and just through a setting say, don't use the built-in GPS.
I'm sure you could. What is the new chip in there? Is it the S2?
S2.
And yep. What's the...
So it's a dual-core chip.
Dual-core.
50% faster.
Includes a new GPU.
Yep. Twice as fast again on the GPU. Twice as fast on the CPU.
Twice as bright. Faster. Twice as bright. That one, that's a big one.
On the display.
The display is twice as bright.
They mentioned some new technology to help the better brightness really helping with outdoor viewing.
Yeah, and that's a big deal.
And brighter sunlight. Yeah. So I think there's more contrast.
I appreciate that.
That'll be nice.
They've gotten rid of.
I really don't have much trouble looking at my Apple Watch outdoors, but I'm still certain I will appreciate the new brightness.
It's one of those things that I've encountered occasionally, not often, but it's one of those things where I did notice it when it happened.
Sure.
Yeah. There's also a new Nike Plus edition. With holes in the band.
And a custom watch face.
Won't be available till late October, I don't think.
Okay.
That sounds about right.
Is there a price difference here?
No.
Okay.
So it will start at $369.
Yeah, we should talk about the actual prices and what's going on here. So they're calling this Series 2. They also have Series 1.
Right. They got rid of the term. Do you notice they got rid of the term sport?
Yeah, they did.
Yeah, there is no more Apple Watch Sport or Apple Watch. It's now just all Apple Watch. It's Apple Watch Series 2 or Good. Apple Watch Series 1.
Good. That was irritating to deal with.
Right. And Series 1 is the same thing as the original Apple Watch, but with the new processor. And
yeah, nice. They upgraded to the S2 processor, which is awesome, and the lower price point.
Yeah, so what's the pricing? Run it down.
So Apple Watch Series 1 starts at $269.
That'll be a 38mm aluminum.
Right. So, and then it's basically for the 42mm, you're going to pay $30 more. So then you have Apple Watch Series 2 starting at $369 for the 38mm with a sport band. Mm-hmm. And then you have that's the aluminum, and then you have the stainless, which starts at $549. Is that right?
That sounds right.
Right. I want to say that's right.
$549 for the Series 2 stainless.
I believe. Yeah.
Yeah. And you can get the Space Black stainless for the same price.
Right. And then it's basically like what we had before. You know, you've got all the different, as you go up in band options, the price goes up. And then you have the Nike versions, which are the same as basically the Series 2. Yeah, Series 2 aluminum with the sport band. So $369, $399. And then you still have the Hermes collection, which is like starting at $1,149, and then again, it's dependent upon which bands you have. And there is a new Hermes band. I'm not even going to try and say this name. It's basically looks like a cuff with like two thinner bands.
Hermes.
It almost looks like some sort of bondage thing.
And toupee. I think it's a toupee.
I would
double leather
that.
Cuff.
Yeah. A toupee. Something like that.
Yeah.
I did.
And then I think that there's a couple new Hermes bands. And then they dumped the edition in the gold finishes.
No more gold. Right. Now it's
And now
ceramic.
It's a white ceramic, and it's not $10,000. It's starting at $1,249.
And I love that. The ceramic is incredible. That's just awesome.
Yeah. Brian Chaffin got to check it out in person at the media event. And he said that he was just blown away. It looks amazing. It's just beautiful. And the white of the ceramic is the same color as the white of the band that it ships with. So completely different materials with the exact same white. That's pretty impressive, too.
I saw him say that. I can't possibly see how that's possible. I cannot see it because, in every photo, there are contrasting colors.
Yeah, it's very distinct.
But, he did see them in person, so.
Yeah. And, maybe it was just the lighting.
And so the advantage of ceramic, which, people might think, oh, ceramic, that's got to be fragile and blah, blah, blah. It's actually super strong, super scratch resistant. There's been ceramic high-end watches around for a long time. So this is something in the watch world.
Ceramics are brittle.
Big deal.
Ceramics are definitely brittle. They're not, highly impact resistant. But as far as scratches go, you're not going to scratch this thing.
So, no.
It's really cool. All right. What do we have? What's next here? Nike, we talked about swim-proof watches that keep Adam from swimming. iPhone 7.
You forgot the water ejecting speaker.
We did forget that. I like that feature. So
that was a really clever feature.
One of the big things that I hate about using my watch if I'm washing my hands or if I decide I need to leave it on while I shower or something like that, getting water in there, it totally jacks up the speaker.
Yeah, because you need air.
Yeah,
for a speaker to work, it's got to vibrate air. Exactly. And if there's a big pocket of water in there, it's not going
to
work.
Yeah, so you have to wait for it to dry out. It stinks. You can't use the microphone doesn't work well. So now they've changed it so that the speaker will actually vibrate vigorously to eject the water out.
Do you guys hear how the way this works? So basically, if you go for a swim, the display is actually turned off and locked. So you can't use it. And the reason for that is if you're anybody who's had wet hands and tried to use their iPhone or an Apple Watch, it doesn't even work anyway. So they do it for two reasons. One, because it won't work and it kind of jacks up, the water can jack up the capacitive stuff on the display, just mess with it. And secondarily, it's going to save battery. And if you're swimming laps and stuff like that, you can't really even be glancing down at your watch anyway, right? Your arms are moving. So fine. When you stop your workout or you get to the end or something like that and you want to wake the display and eject the water, you turn the digital crown and that causes the speaker water eject thing to happen and the display to come back on.
I want to see like a camera close up of the speaker when someone does that. I want to see the
I'm sure someone will make a YouTube video with like a super slow-mo, like macro camera.
That'd be great. I'd really appreciate that. So send me that link. So that's Apple Watch Series 2 and Series 1. So the iPhone 7, they have the 7 and the 7 Plus. The smaller one has a 12 megapixel, a new 12 megapixel camera. Six element lens.
Is it new? That's just the thing.
Well, it's a new sensor, I believe.
New sensor. Okay. So
that's the impression that I got.
Cause, I'm coming cause at this
the
stuff.
The S
from,
is 12 megapixel too, right?
Uh huh.
Yeah. I'm also kind of trying to come at this from the perspective as someone who owns a 6, because nobody covered it that way, and I was very confused about what the hell the benefit's going to be to me because everybody's talking about. It has the same case as the iPhone 6S. And I'm like, also the same as the 6.
Right.
But,
And it's not entirely the same because you've got the antenna is now integrated into the case, right?
I think it's better integrated. I wouldn't say that it's not metal.
Meaning it's now using the case as like, it's my understanding from that marketing term that how they've embedded the antenna now in the 7, it's actually using the metal frame or the metal case more as the antenna.
Hmm. Okay.
If that makes any sense. Yeah, so basically the whole back of your phone is becoming part of the antenna system.
And I think that's kind of how it was with the iPhone 4 when they first started.
Oh, really?
Yeah. When they first started putting those antenna lines in there, they used the frame as the antenna. So there's a quad LED flash now, four LEDs for better flashing, I guess.
Quad, true tone.
Quad, yeah. quad. Mm-hmm. So, and then on the plus, you've got this dual lens or dual camera. It's not even just dual lenses.
Yeah, it's dual cameras. So you have wide angle and telephoto lenses.
I think it's built a 28 millimeter and then a 56 millimeter.
It's
exactly double the 28 because that's how they achieve the 2x optical zoom.
Okay, cool. So yeah, you can tap a button and it will zoom you in 2x. So it just effectively
switches. Yeah, so basically what that's doing
camera.
Is it's switching from the wide angle lens to the telephoto lens.
Yeah,
that's all that's happening.
And then you can, using software, it lets you go between those two. So you can zoom between the one and the two gradually and then go beyond that from 2 to 10, and then going anywhere beyond 2 is a software zoom. But it allegedly,
but Apple thinks it's like a really good thing.
They say it looks really good.
Yeah,
I'll be the judge of that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Digital zoom is just cropping.
Yeah, every time one of these events goes on, you know, the whole reality distortion thing kicks into play. And it's funny, I did an interview for BBC Radio and they kind of brought this up. Like, they asked about, you know, people clapping during the keynote and who's in the audience, you know, it's like the journalists and stuff like that. And I'm like, yeah, you get swept up in the moment and you're just like, Tim Cook could say, come out and say, and every 5 minutes it will poop in your lap. Yay. That's awesome. Right.
Well, so. They also stack the audience with a lot of Apple employees, and they also had
right. So they are seeding the applause, of course.
So I take all of these, you know, like awesome new features. A lot. There are these ones like the 10x optical zoom digital zoom being as good as an optical zoom.
It's really a 5x.
Like you got to show me what.
It's really a 5x optical or digital zoom.
Well, it's a 5x digital zoom in the iPhone 7, but it's up to 10x in the 7 Plus.
Mm-hmm.
No, I'm saying if you're going from 2x to 10x, it's a 5x digital zoom. A factor of cropping.
Anyway.
But, okay, so new colors you've got. So we have the old colors, rose gold, gold, silver. We have a new black, which looks very nice.
Yeah,
it's a
black.
Matte black. And then you have a jet black, which is a glossy black that they had to whip with feather dusters for 20 hours to make it that glossy.
And they're already warning it's going to scratch.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're... if you want to protect it, you have to put a case on.
Yeah.
So how I read it sort of described is like a car finish, like a high-end car finish where you can get like micro abrasions. I think you call it swirling or swirls.
Yeah.
And you should be able to, in most cases, buff those out.
Yeah. So which ones did you guys get?
I went with the regular black, so the matte black, 128 gig, 7.
Me
same.
Too.
Exactly the same.
Me too. Wow. All right. So we're not going to have to talk about the new camera system.
No. I would have loved those new cameras, but the phone's too big.
Yeah, same.
Yeah, and it's just, there wasn't enough in there. We didn't talk about the whole soft focus like trick that they're going to bring out later.
Okay.
Yeah, simulated bokeh.
But yeah, that's an important distinction. It is a simulated bokeh because they're actually using both lenses to create the effect, right?
And again, yeah, and then the software has to sort of do the masking and then apply the effect, you know. It does have an awesome new, you know, digital image signal processor, but this is one of those features, again, that I think remains to be seen how good it's actually going to be. It may be great, but we just don't know at this point. The other thing that I want to comment on, because it came up on the as we were doing the live coverage for British Tech Network.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the images that Apple was showing off, and even if you go look at the images on their website, so you can kind of go in and get the details on the camera, and they have some sample shots of the new from the new cameras.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at them, I'm hoping this is just a style thing of whatever photographer they had take these pictures. But they're all seriously underexposed. I mean, if you look at all of them, there is no shadow detail at all. It's all dark and underexposed. And the ones that they showed on stage were the same way.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that it was just the
and
style.
I assume the ones on stage is because of the projector.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm looking and I'm on my... Go look at the ones on Apple's website on your Retina display and tell me what you think. But, I mean, they all look seriously underexposed to me. And, you know, the conspiracy theory that was thrown out by, I think, UN was that they did the underexposure on purpose on stage so that when they applied some of the filters and effects, that the effect would be more pronounced. Which in some ways makes sense, right?
I think it's just the
style. You want to have a good demo.
It's just the style of the photography.
Again, I'm hoping that's the case. I'm hoping when I get my new camera and I'm taking pictures, I don't see that the lens system is underexposing all my shots. But even some of these outdoor shots that are in bright light, even there, the shadow detail is missing.
Yeah, I don't think that that's going to be a problem. Apple would be screwed. They very highly value their camera technology. They're not going to do that.
Well, again, look at the pictures.
I've seen them. I think that's just the style.
Do you not agree?
I agree with what you're saying. I don't agree that... I think that it's the style. So okay. Moving on, let's talk about the speakers. So now there's no headphone jack, blah, blah, blah. The speaker...
You don't want to get into that? We're just going to... That's it?
There's no headphone jack. We've been talking about it for 4 frickin' months. We don't need to talk about it anymore. Okay? It's not there. It's gone. Bye-bye. Who cares? There's a lightning... ear pods in the box, and there's
surprisingly the adapter is a lightning 3.5 millimeter.
There's an adapter.
Is there?
Good for them. It only costs $9 if you lose it or you need more, which is a great price.
I mean, at that price, I think a lot of people are going to get them. It's funny again, Ewan. he knows he's the type of person who always forgets his headphones and his dongle. Or may need to run out and buy a new pair of like cheap earbuds because he forgot his earbuds.
Yeah.
And he's going to need adapters. So he's like, I ordered 5 of them and just stuck them in every bag and in every corner that I have.
Yeah.
Which isn't a bad idea. At $9, you can have, you know, put them all over the place.
Yeah.
Yep. I'm planning on getting a second one right away. So I'll have one that's in my bag and one that's in the car.
Yep.
Yeah. I think I'll just keep one in the bag for now. I think I'll be okay. I use wireless more than anything.
But the thing I thought is at that price too, if I was the type of person who had a couple pairs of wired headphones that I really liked, I would just get extra dongles and just keep them on there. I mean, basically convert my headphones into lightning
into
headphones.
Into lightning.
Yeah, yep. And hopefully someone will come out with a little like rubbery lanyard thing where you can attach it to, you know, one side of your cord and the other side so that if you do need to use those headphones with a standard 3.5, you can just sort of unplug the dongle but leave it hanging and attached to.
That's a really good
headphones.
Idea.
I can see that happening. You shouldn't have told people.
You think I should have made that? I should have kickstarted that.
You should have done that, yeah.
Funny thing I was going to mention earlier, too, about the AirPods, just similarly, someone else can steal this idea, but I know it's already been thought of and a million people are going to do it. They're going to make, like, croquis for AirPods, so, you know, where you, like, to attach a little lanyard between the two AirPods, which is just hilarious.
I thought you were going to say that Apple produced that.
No, but a third party will within weeks, I guarantee you.
But again, if you're going to do that,
just why wouldn't you just buy the Beats ones that are already like that?
Let me just say for that, I think at least for me, having the connection between the two would probably encourage more loss of that, because with my Jaybirds, I wear them, so you know I'm listening to them, and at some point I need to take them off, and I just leave them around my neck, just draped around my neck, because they have the wire connecting them.
Right.
And that is how I lost my last pair, because I had them draped around my neck, and they do tend to go, you know, inch toward one side or the other. And I've had them, I mean, 9 times out of 10, I realize, well, 99 out of 100, I've realized yep. they're coming off, and I readjust them. And then the one time that I didn't realize it is when I lost them. So I think it would be much harder to forget, that, you know, oh, it popped out of my ear and not realize it. I think yep. you either have them in your ears and you realize when they pop out, or you take them out of your ears and you throw them in your pocket, and you're probably not going to lose them.
I'll give you the third mega money-making idea for AirPod accessories.
I bet I know where you're going.
In this show.
A little, okay, you just say it.
A charging case necklace.
Oh, like a food bag?
So a lot of people are like, what do I do if I'm like want to take them out of my ears temporarily? And the answer is put them in the charging case. But I've heard a lot of people complaining, well, then I've got to carry my charging case with me, like in my pocket or something like that. So just a little thing that allows you to hang the charging case around your neck. And that way you can pop out your earbud, pop it in the charging case, and just leave it hanging around your neck.
You keep the thing
like
in
you
your...
would if...
You huh? keep it in your MERS. You're supposed to keep the little thing in your MERS.
Yeah, but again, if you're at the gym or working out or whatever, I don't know that working out in AirPods is going to be a great thing, but I'm sure some people are going to try to do it. So,
Depending on, so if you're like jogging, that, you know, and that was another thing that I forgot to mention. So there was a blogger or you know reporter at the event, Natalie de Blasio. There's, mm-hmm. she did a little
did some, like,
10 second
jumping jacks
and... video where she, you know, shook her head around vigorously, did some jumping jacks, and it didn't look like they moved at all. Although she may just have the ears that are
the right shaped ears. Sure. Yeah.
Perfect. For
a number of people commented that the long stems do seem to help sort of lock them in place.
It does seem
a little bit
way.
Better.
Yeah.
Interesting. Okay.
Also,
back to the iPhone 7.
I think they have these things. I saw them at Macworld years ago, but the they're kind of like little cups that you put over your earbuds, and then they make them in ear.
Oh, oh yes, yeah. I remember seeing those.
Yeah, you can get little inserts,
little cups. That's the other thing.
So there'll be solutions. People will figure this stuff out.
Yeah.
But we were talking iPhone speakers. I think
you could put maybe like just. Put a bunch of hot glue on, just drench it in hot glue, and then immediately while it's still warm and flowing,
weld it into your ear.
Jam it in your ear, and then it's going to be one of those.
That'd be good.
One of those hot custum ear molds that Dave gets.
Do not do that with the hot glue, people. Please.
If you do that, I'm not sorry. I'm not sorry you got that idea from me.
Yeah, but you will get the lawsuit. If you're going to do that, and
I guess we are recording this.
Send Michael the lawsuit letter.
Don't do it. All right.
Not us.
Right. So iPhones.
We don't condone pouring glue in your ear. Or your friends.
Not super glue.
Or your siblings.
Hot glue seems like it'll come out. Maybe it'll give you a nice little like wax. It'll get rid of the some of the stray hairs that you have in there.
Don't do it. It's a stupid idea.
Speakers.
No one should do this.
Talking about speakers. So there's an image on the Apple website, on the iPhone website. I think it's on under the learn more about the design of iPhone 7. There are all these little, expandy.
Talking about the now in stereo.
Buttons. No, it's the first expand, the little blue plus button that you press. It says learn more about iPhone 7. So there's a really great image that shows the Taptic Engine and the Touch ID and all this stuff. They pulled the screen off so you can see the bottom portion of the phone. And you guys should see this if you haven't. The speaker is on the right side of the phone. And it is a huge cavity. It's enormous. Yep. It's like what they did with the iPad. So there's one speaker, as we figured out. On the left side is the microphone, you know, the actual microphone itself, the element in there. And but I just thought it was fascinating how large that thing is. And now they're claiming 2x loudness, twice as loud as the iPhone 6S. In addition to that, you've got, as we talked about last week, the earpiece speaker is now going to function as a second speaker, and it senses when you turn your phone into landscape mode. So in portrait, I think this, the sound just comes out in sort of a, you know, without any regard for stereo separation. And then when you turn it, it will actually sense this and do the channel separation left and right, depending on how you're holding it, which is cool. I like that. Maybe if it,
FYI, the channel separation will work as long as you're within about 4 feet of the phone.
Thank you. Yeah.
Yeah. The speakers are very, very close together.
They're relatively close together.
Just so people know, like if you're further than 4 feet away, you're not going to get stereo separation.
But people who, the thing, so Apple, I feel like understands the general, way that this stuff is being used. They understand that
most people are holding it up to watch a movie in front of their face or watch a TV show in front of their face.
Or, and no, they're listening to music on it.
12 to 18 inches.
They're walking around on a hiking trail with their phone blasting music out of the speakers.
Yeah.
Or what have you. They're doing that sort of thing. This is great for most people, because most people do not give a crap about sound quality. They just want to hear their music if it sounds good enough. And honestly,
the loudness factor is more important, I think, than the fact that it's stereo.
Yeah, it's great. So stereo speakers, that's cool. And what else is going on? So we've got the new A10 chip in here. It's a quad core A10 Fusion chip. So dual core, high performance. Two high performance cores and two what did they say? Low performance
high efficiency.
Thank you. I knew there was a certain spin. High efficiency cores, and I think that's how they're going to achieve the additional battery life in this new phone. So for the
there is a larger battery.
Larger battery, higher efficiency cores, which is great. I mean that sounds great. Why would you want to use your high performance core if it's just sitting in your pocket doing nothing? So and this is what you get from a company that does this, the hardware and the software, so you get even better efficiency. And they did mention iPhone 6 owners 2 hours additional battery life per day if you compared to the iPhone 6 so. And then with the actually, it's probably the same as the 6S, right? 2 hours. And then if you have a Plus, you get an extra hour.
No. It's actually 2 hours better than the 6S.
Okay, so 2 hours better than the
6S. Up to 2 hours better than a 6S and up to 1 hour better than a 6S Plus.
Thank you. Yeah. Oh, no, it says, well, okay. I'm looking at two different things. 2 times faster than the 6, the iPhone 6. Mm-hmm. So that's nice. What else? We have in the Fusion chip. Ooh, A10.
New GPU.
New GPU. 3 times faster GPU than the iPhone 6. Capacities have been bumped. So there's the death of the 16 gig capacity iOS device, I think, right? So there are no iOS devices with 16 gigs.
iPhone SE. Correct.
SE?
Oh, yeah, the SE.
Still get a 16 there.
Okay, but the rest of the, if you want to get the 6S or the 7.
Yeah, so you're alluding to the fact, without saying it, that Apple also bumped the iPad, all the iPads to 32, 128.
Yep. Yeah, 32, 128, 256. Those are the, so adding $100 for the space bumps. And
well, the iPad prices actually dropped for the Pro models.
Yes, that's also true.
$50 on the 128s and down $100 on the 256.
Nice.
Also, yeah.
Home
button. We skipped the home button.
Home button is now solid state. They've got that bigger Taptic engine in there. So it's like MacBook Pro.
Some of the reviewers are commenting that does not feel good or right.
I'm holding off judgment. Because those reviews, and I'm doing air quotes for that because it's still so early, those reviews, it's after playing with the iPhone for a couple minutes at the media event.
Yeah, it's a first impression, but the first impression from a number of reviewers, more than one, was that when you press it, sort of the whole bottom of the phone vibrates. Yeah. So it's not probably as localized as you would like it to be to actually simulate a physical localized button push, is what it's sounding like, the feeling is.
Yes. And so we'll see. And my guess is because you control the Taptic engine through software, Apple can refine that.
Yep. And I mean, having that new engine in there, there's developer APIs and you've got the 3D touch display. And so there's going to be a lot of benefits for other apps as well.
And the button is pressure sensitive now.
Yeah. Yeah. Is it customizable too, to a certain degree in iOS 10? Do we know? Did they say that?
I don't know if they said directly, but I kind of got the impression that...
Like, are we going to have new force touch settings that we can apply to the home button?
I'm going to go with a maybe.
I heard some allusions to that. But
that would be cool.
Yeah. Did we mention that it's waterproof?
Yeah, more water resistant.
Splash and water resistant.
Yeah, not 100% waterproof. Basically, it's got an IP67 rating, which translates to up to 30 minutes in 1 meter of water.
And that's pretty good. So if it drops in the toilet, that sucks because, toilet water. But that's probably where it's going to happen.
It won't get in, though. That's the advantage. The
toilet water is not going to get in. It's
100% dust resistant.
Dust resistant. Mm-hmm. That's good for a lot of people. I have a lot of friends who do things in dusty environments, unclean environments, and it gets all up in there.
Well, the beach. You don't have to worry about dropping it in the sand at the beach. Nothing's going to get in there.
Yeah.
That's right. You're still going to have to get a can of compressed air to blow out the lightning port, but that's it.
Yeah,
and the crevasses.
The crevasses, thank you. And let's see. They do say that water incursions are not covered under the warranty, though. So if there is water damage, you're SOL.
Be covered in AppleCare.
Yeah,
you have to pay your $99 premium.
But that's standard for the industry. It's not an uncommon thing. That's how it works. So
here's a cool thing.
Yeah.
So all AppleCare Plus warranties, they did raise the accidental damage waiver fee.
Oh, they did.
It's now $99. Yeah. So it was $79. So even on on my current iPhone, it sounds like they went up across the board. Other than they dropped screen replacements down to $29.
Oh, nice.
Which is the most common repair. I mean, that's the most common accidental damage that people go in for. So if you crack your screen now, $29 under AppleCare Plus incident to replace it. Of course, you still only get the two accidental incident.
Yeah.
Incidents.
And AppleCare Plus it's still $129. It was $129 before, correct?
Yeah.
I have AppleCare on my phone because...
And that's for the iPhone. That price is for the iPhone. Obviously, AppleCare varies depending upon what device you're talking about. Because I want to say it's like, isn't it like $50 for the watch? I don't remember. Don't quote me on it. But it's something. It's cheaper if you're like for Apple Watch than it is for iPhone.
Right. But I was going to say that the reason I have it on my... on my iPhone is really two reasons. One, because I have one time dropped my phone in a toilet. And although I got around it, I got it replaced for free, but that's a concern. Water damage.
Nicely done.
And the other is I had an issue with my home button crapping out at some point, and I didn't have AppleCare at that point. And I think that with the water resistance and the solid state home button, I don't know that I'm going to get AppleCare.
You've never cracked a screen?
No. Hmm. I haven't cracked.
With the newer price on screen replacements, I've cracked screens, so it's worth it.
You've had some pretty serious screen cracks.
I had one serious screen crack, and on my current phone, I had this really minor one that I almost didn't get repaired, but I knew I couldn't live with it, so it was like this little tiny crack in the corner.
Yeah, that'd be kind of annoying.
Yeah.
So, and at $29, I mean, I paid $79 to have that one done. So, at $29,
well, it's really $150 like for the first one.
Very true.
Yeah, that's a good point.
And then it's what, $180? So it's $90. Per screen. I mean, you better hope you crack it again, because then that decreases your price per replacement by quite a bit. And at $30, you might as well just break that thing again. What else is there? iPhone 7. Let's get the W1. iOS 10 and watchOS 3 coming September 13th, along with Sierra is going to be launched on the 20th. They've seeded the gold masters of all of these: tvOS, watchOS, iOS 10, Sierra. We talked about the headphone jack adapter, IP67 water resistant.
Did we talk about if you want an iPhone at this point, you're going to be probably waiting for most models?
Yeah. You might get lucky if you go into an Apple store on launch day. Maybe they'll have some.
I'm just checking. I haven't checked in a while. Now, 256 models are still available for September 16th delivery.
Oh, nice.
Best Buy and B&H Photo are both claiming, at least as of Friday afternoon, that they could deliver on the 16th.
It says 2 to 3 weeks for most of these models.
Yeah.
Now,
I'm checking right now, and the Plus models seem to be in higher demand.
Yes.
So they're all like 2 to 3 weeks out.
I see November.
There are some iPhone 7s in 256 that seem to be still available.
If you're looking for the jet black, good luck.
Oh, yeah. And the jet blacks are out to November and maybe later at this point.
Yeah, yep. Mostly 2 to 3 weeks for all of these, except for the Plus in the jet black. Although I'm wondering if the jet black... I'm going to try here.
You can get a silver iPhone 7 256 gigabyte
on launch
delivered
day.
September 16th.
Nice. So I'm glad you
also
brought this
up. Also the gold in 256, and that's it.
Cool. So T-Mobile, so I didn't think I was going to get any of this stuff. I thought, hey, it all looks good, but I'm going to stick with my plan of waiting for the iPhone.
Oh, you're going to go back
year.
Under contract?
I mean, it's not really a contract.
Oh, yeah, it is.
It's a contract that says that if I stay with T-Mobile for 2 years, then they will pay for it. And if I don't stay with T-Mobile for 2 years, then I have to pay the remaining balance.
Yeah, so that's a contract.
Sure, it's a contract.
That's what we had before.
But you know what? Okay, so the idea is they announced... if you have an iPhone 6 or newer, you can trade that in and get a no-cost iPhone 7. They basically will give you a guaranteed $650 trade-in for your iPhone 6. So the idea is it's going to... So you send them your old phone, you pay the tax on it, and if you want to get a bigger phone, storage-wise, you pay $100 extra for the bumps, and they give you a bill credit every month that's, you know, 27 and change for 2 years. So you effectively get it for no additional cost, or, you know, the 150 or whatever I'm paying for it, which, I mean, that's too good of an offer to turn down, especially for me having an iPhone 6 and knowing that there's no possible way that even today, if I tried to sell this thing, I'm not a 128 gig 6 in silver, I'm not going to get $650 for it. There's no way. Or if I got close to it, I would be paying eBay seller fees and all this stuff. So I see this as retaining a lot of value in my purchase and getting a pretty significant upgrade.
Yep. And some other carriers followed suit, right? Isn't Verizon making a similar offer? And I forget who else. Or Sprint. Probably Sprint.
Sprint is doing something similar.
Yeah.
What? How does that deal go? Is basically the same idea?
It's not as good as T-Mobile's.
Okay.
I remember looking at it quickly and thinking, wow, they really don't get to do that. Actually, the deal Sprint is offering, I think, is worse than what you can get from any of the other carriers.
Have you guys heard about people having trouble with the iPhone upgrade program and ordering on launch
day? I heard there were issues. I don't know what the details of that are.
Yeah, I heard some people had trouble. The only trouble I had was since I was ordering through AT&T's website, AT&T still hasn't figured out that they need to beef up their server capacity on iPhone pre-order day.
Right.
You'd think they'd figure that out. Although they haven't sold iPhones for that long.
Right. It's only going on 10 years. And I mean, that's not even old enough to drive.
Yeah. But so you guys don't have details on the issues that they had. I guess they had a limited stock of upgrade iPhones. And then they said, hey, come back tomorrow. We're done with you.
Right, and I guess they're now going to make more available on the 17th, I believe. So if you're in the iPhone upgrade program and you haven't been able to pre-order, I think there's going to be another round starting on the 17th, which is the day after the iPhone ships.
It's good that they're doing that, but it sure feels like Apple kind of fumbled on the whole upgrade program.
Well, especially considering Phil mentioned it, like went out of his way to talk about it.
Yeah. But he could have fixed that again, with one word.
You know, this is why I moved to just buying mine outright. It's very painful and hard on the pocketbook, but it takes so much more hassle out of upgrading for me. And that was my concern when Apple announced this program, is that one, people would have a hard time with it, which turned out to be sort of the case, and two, that, you know, they're not going to give you back the value that you think, and I think that's okay. I think that's worked out okay, but it's just, I don't know, it seems like a lot of hassle to me.
Yeah. So we also have that the iPhone 7 appears to have 3 gigs of RAM based on benchmarks, which is nice. Seems to outperform the iPad Air 2, the current version with the A9X, so that's good. Let's see. The AT&T and T-Mobile iPhone, so if you get a GSM-only phone, it is a GSM-only phone. So you can't do CDMA on those. If you get the Sprint or Verizon iPhone, which those carriers are CDMA, they will also support GSM frequencies. And this is because Apple decided to switch to Intel for the modems in the iPhone, and Intel does not license the ability from, I believe, Qualcomm for CDMA. Although this may be a temporary issue with just the iPhone 7, honestly, there was so much upset about this fact. I don't understand at all why there were so many people who were upset about this. I have
it's international travelers. So if you
I think it's nerd rage. I think it's nerd rage. First of all. I mean, in the place that I was looking in comments, and those people never, they're not going to change their networks. They never have, and they never will. But, okay, so yes, there are some international travelers, but isn't GSM kind
something
of the standard around the world?
Of. Yeah, it's mostly GSM, but again, if you're in another country and you're coming to the States and the deal that you want to get while you're here is on a CDMA network, then you would not have, you'd have less options, right? So if you do get in that situation where you don't, so therefore when you're buying your phone, you want to be aware of that so that you know, okay, I'm going to get, make sure that I get the model that also supports CDMA. And there's just confusion. It causes consumer confusion because in the past you could get, you know, whichever model, and it didn't matter for the iPhone 6S or 6S Plus.
Yeah.
Now you've got to, again, be aware of it. And it was like this before. I can't remember when it switched over.
It might
they
have
didn't
been
get
six.
The world ban thing for like a while.
Right.
It's only been the last past couple models, if not just the past model. I think it was the 6. I think you're right.
I think it started with the 6.
So the 6 and the 6S have had the sort of world ban capabilities, and now you've lost them. So it's a little bit frustrating if you're used to not having to deal with it the last couple generations, and now you're like, oh, we're back to this again.
So when you buy this phone, you say, oh, I'm getting a Verizon iPhone through Apple.
Right.
Does it actually lock to Verizon?
I believe it locks to Verizon, but if you're traveling internationally, you can use the GSM part.
Well, the other thing is if you pay full boat, if you buy it unlocked,
well, or not unlocked, then you can just do as you please.
If you buy it outright off contract or anything, you can get it unlocked. You may have to go through the carrier in some cases, but it may not come out of the box unlocked.
Oh, it is locked.
You should be able to get it unlocked.
I'm looking at this right now. So
it does say unlocked.
So iPhone 7, Verizon. iPhone upgrade program is unlocked. Apple iPhone installments is unlocked. Pay with a contract is unlocked, which is interesting. I didn't realize you could still do that through Verizon. Pay in full, of course, is unlocked. So it's unlocked no matter what. So if you buy it full price, pay in full, it's definitely unlocked, and you can use it with whatever carrier you want.
Mm-hmm. So it's a small percentage of people that this is going to make a big deal for.
So yeah, but if you care about this, go get a Verizon iPhone and just pay for it. Actually, you don't even really need to pay for it, outright. You can even get it on a contract and it'll still be unlocked, which is pretty cool. I wonder if it's the same for Sprint. Black. Go.
I don't know.
It is unlocked with Sprint. Except for the 2-year contract, it's not unlocked.
Of course not.
That makes sense. All right, cool.
That's the definition of contract.
So we have figured that out. Let's see here. Belkin is going to sell you a $40 lightning adapter if you want that'll let you listen and charge at the same time. So it's a lightning 1-2 split.
Basically, like a Y splitter for lightning.
Yeah. Sounds fun. You could get that. I am not one of those people who ever listens to music and charges at the same time. And if I do,
you don't do that in the car.
No. I use the lightning connector to get audio and charge.
Lightning to USB, so yeah. You have a USB plug on your head unit.
Yeah.
I don't have that. I have only aux.
You should get a different one. Get a different head unit.
That's probably what I will end up doing, because that's my cheapest route. Well, other than getting the $40 dongle, but for $80, I can get a new head unit that would actually have Bluetooth and USB, probably.
Yeah. The only bummer, with my head unit, and I'm gonna guess with most, is it only supplies USB spec current, so that's 500 milliamps. And so if you're doing GPS,
mm-hmm.
and listening to music and all drain? That stuff, it I'm gonna say that it either doesn't charge at all, pretty much, or you may have a net negative. It really doesn't charge if you're using GPS at the same time. If you're not using GPS and you're just listening to music, you're good. It'll charge up slowly, but it'll charge. Tops off. It's
interesting.
Nice. Yeah, that was I mean, I really only ran into that this summer when I was driving through LA traffic and using Waze.
But other head units may be different.
Possibly.
So you just need to pay attention to that.
I wouldn't bank on it. It may be possible. If anybody knows, please let me know, because I would love that. And for what it's worth, if you get a Y adapter for USB and you try to have one end a charger and one end going into your head unit, that doesn't work with the iPhone, because it I think there's some kind of negotiation with how much current gets drawn.
I think that the point is, in looking at the Belkin thing, what I'll tell people, people who are worried about the charge and listen at the same time issue, there's going to be a million third-party adapters and solutions in all kinds of flavors and variants to address this very problem.
Yeah.
Apple's official solution is the dock, the iPhone dock, which has a 3.5 millimeter jack on the back, but not very convenient if you're like wanting to lay down in bed at the end of the day and charge and watch a movie on your iPhone.
Yeah, no, that's not going to happen. Also not convenient in your car.
Yeah.
But you do have the 2x louder speaker.
It could be convenient in your car. I guess if maybe you like super glue the dock to your console somewhere.
Yeah. I think in the car that might be a thing, but I think this is just very minor growing pains.
Yeah, it's going to be a pain point in certain situations. I'm fully prepared for it. I know there's going to be times when I'm going to be like, "Damn it," but you're going to get over it pretty quick.
Yeah, I think that
it's been way overblown in the media as like a thing.
Well, having the dongle really. Really makes a difference. Keeping it in my bag. I'm sure there will be a situation where, I always have it in my bag, and I 90% of the time I'm carrying my bag with me. But at some point, I'm going to be somewhere where someone says, "Hey, let's play some music," or I want to play some music in some kind of stereo or something like that, and I won't have my bag with the dongle on me, and I just can't. And people are going to laugh and say, "Why did you get that? You should have gotten the Galaxy S7 or whatever." And I'll say, have fun with your exploding phone.
Speaking of Galaxy phones, I'm amazed at how many people are freaking out over the headphone jack thing on the iPhone, but didn't bat an eye when Samsung did it earlier this year.
Yeah, there's actually a couple model Android phones that don't have headphone jacks.
Right, and it seems like people are more worried about not being able to plug the 3.5 millimeter plug into an iPhone than they are about the fact that Samsung Galaxy S7 phones have burned down cars and houses now.
Really?
Yeah.
It's bad. Yeah. The FAA is asking people not to take them on planes. The Consumer Product Safety Commission has said, please power them off. Do not turn them on.
Don't have them. Don't
until you get a replacement. I mean, Samsung's going to replace all of them, but apparently it's not every model. It's the batteries that are from a Samsung subsidiary that are apparently have the defect. So, I thought I saw an article that even said a way where you could identify if your phone has the impacted battery or not.
Right, because it's on fire.
I think Samsung's doing just a total recall on that model. Yeah. I don't know that they're even differentiating.
Chemistry is dangerous. Maybe they are. They're taking them all back.
Yeah. Okay. So last thing on our list, and then we'll wrap it up. Apple has rebooted the self-driving car project Titan, according to the New York Times. About a month after Bob Mansfield took it over and began shifting it from an actual car project to an autonomous driving system exclusively. They've laid off some employees, but they are Apple employees were told that the layoffs were part of a reboot of the car project. The people briefed on it said an Apple spokesman declined to comment. So they're still working on this thing. I don't know how that's going to happen. It sounds almost like we're going to have, remember the pre-iPhone iPhone, that Motorola rocker? Remember the Motorola rocker? It seems like we're going to have a rocker car out of this.
No,
they're not going to have. They're not going to sell the autonomous stuff to like Audi.
If you're saying we, not us, I think they're going to. They may do something originally through their. I'm going to say Baidu, but that's not right. The Chinese car company that they did a partnership
Didi.
With. Didi, they're going to do some through with Didi Chung, and probably some automaker over there to make a vehicle for the ride sharing service.
I could totally see that happening.
What's Didi Chung?
It's Chinese. It's like Chinese Uber.
Yeah, and it actually is Chinese Uber because they bought Chinese Uber.
Right, that's true. So they'll put an autonomous, autonomous Uber-like car on the road in China as their initial testing platform.
Weird. Do you think they'll even talk about it?
Oh yeah,
sure. It'll be
secret. Oh, okay.
I don't know.
Okay, cool. And so,
like Uber is doing in Philadelphia, right?
Oh yeah, mm-hmm. I want to try one.
Pittsburgh.
Of those.
I not Philadelphia. Pittsburgh.
I keep messing that up.
All right, so we're almost getting to an hour and a half.
Yeah.
So we're not going
to. One other thing on the iPhone stuff, just because I know people will want to know, you cannot use your existing case with the new iPhone because cameras.
Right.
Because cameras.
You know what? I have access to a Dremel.
Camera design changed. The hole is bigger, and if you have the iPhone 7 Plus, it's way bigger.
True.
So you can get a new cover.
Here's another cool thing that a lot of people missed. The leather cases.
Uh-huh.
Now, instead of just having that stupid bump that is like impossible to push for like the volume and sleep wake buttons.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
They have integrated metal buttons.
Ooh.
Yeah.
My bumps haven't been too bad.
No, but I mean, I've never been a big fan. I don't like the little bumps.
I like the bumps.
I don't like the little bumps.
So they're
you're going to now have nice color matched integrated metal actual clicky buttons on your case.
They're not color matched though. Sexy. That's a lie. I mean, if you get the black one, but if you get the, it's going to be color matched to the case is what you're saying.
To the case, yes.
To the case.
What am I thinking? What am I thinking? Don't listen to me. iPhone 7 leather case is $45 for the midnight blue.
That's down $4. I thought they were $49 before.
I kind of want to.
They were.
I get that saddle.
They were $49 before.
A saddle brown. That might be good.
That's what I'm getting. I got the all black iPhone with the saddle brown leather case. That's exactly what I got.
It seems classy. Or what about the it's tan? Tan might be okay. It's kind of light though. Saddle brown looks good. That's really good. Yeah.
I haven't bought a case yet because I actually want to see the colors. But it's stupid. I should have just bought the case because I'm going to end up buying midnight blue.
I have a midnight blue now with my white gold, which looks awesome. I just don't know about the Blue and black. I guess that could look nice.
You can mix and match.
They have it on Apple's website. It actually looks pretty good.
Yeah. And I bought a midnight blue leather loop band for my black Apple Watch, and that looks good. So I should have just bought the case already.
Yeah, you can actually look at the colors on Apple's website. The black and the red looks cool, too. Ooh, Jeff, I don't know. You might want to look at the sea blue.
I have looked at the sea blue. I really like that, too.
Black and the sea blue look pretty sexy.
I probably will end up buying midnight blue, but I'm waiting till I can look at them in the store and choose between that and sea blue.
Okay, cool. Nice. Well, let's wrap this thing up. So,
okay.
iPhone picks in the show notes can be found at theiosshow.com. Review the show on iTunes, rate the show, and tell a friend. feedback@theiosshow.com is the email address to which you can send your questions, comments, feedback, and more. Advertising is handled by Backbeat Media at backbeatmedia.com. Adam Christensen, he's at the MacCast, MacCast.com, and at MacCast on Twitter. Thanks for being here, Adam.
Oh, hey, yeah. And just so people know, I have a Twitter poll running right now asking about how people feel about the loss of the headphone jack. So I'll try to be tweeting that out for the next couple days. It's running for another like 5 days. So if you want to vote on that, follow me on Twitter. And at some point I should post the link. The only thing is if you're in a third party client, you have to click through on the link and go to Twitter's official website.
Tweetbot?
Polls don't work with third party clients. It's a Twitter only feature.
Oh.
That's how Twitter is now.
Well, all right. But I'll try it.
Anyway, yeah, as of like last night, you know, 75% of the people were saying, it doesn't matter. It's not a big deal to me. So, and that was with like over 300 people.
Annoyed, I'll get over it.
Yep.
There you go. Me.
Yeah, that's the middle one. That's me. I'm a little annoyed by it, but I will get over it. And then we have angry, which I think was at about 8%.
Yeah.
8% of the people are, it's a deal breaker. I'm not upgrading. So. Chime in your vote.
Cool. All right. Jeff Gamet, he's at the Mac Observer, macobserver.com, the TMO Daily Observations podcast, and he's on Twitter at jgamet. Thanks for being here, Jeff.
It's always awesome. And I have to give everyone a heads up.
Uh-oh.
I have two sticker packs for iOS 10 waiting final approval right now.
Cool.
So, they're a bunch of my drawings. They're both called Space is the Place. One is color, the other is black and white. So you can choose whichever you want. So anyhow, will be soon. That's a very good question. I forgot what I said. It's reasonable. Whatever I put it at, it was reasonable.
$49.95.
No. That is reasonable.
See?
How many stickers do you get?
Four. Each four, that's right. I want to say it's 35 in each pack. I wanted to make sure people got their money's worth.
Cool. All right.
Hopefully they'll be available on the 13th.
Awesome. I'm at Michael Johnston on Twitter, and I don't have any sticker packs coming to iOS 10.
Yet.
Probably not going to happen. But I'll let you know. So with that, we'll see you next time on the iOS show.
An internet. How are we going to communicate this? The stylus. We don't want to carry around a mouse, right? So what are we going to do? Oh, a stylus, right? We're going to use a stylus. No. Yuck. Yuck, no. Who wants a stylus? You have to get them and put them away and you lose them. Yuck, yuck. Yuck, yuck, no. Yuck, 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 no. Yuck, no. Yuck, yuck, no. No, 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 no. You have to get them and put them away and you lose them. Nobody wants a stylus. So let's not use a stylus. Nobody wants a stylus. So let's not use a stylus. We're going to use the best pointing device in the world. We're going to use a pointing device that we're all born with. We're born with 10 of them. We're going to use our fingers. Our fingers. Our fingers. Our fingers. Our fingers. Yuck. Our fingers. Yuck. Communicator. An iPod. A phone. Are you getting it? An iPod. A phone. An iPod. A phone. An internet communicator.